Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station on a Wednesday afternoon. This week, and this month, I guess, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of this radio show. 10 years where I've been doing what I can to promote cultural reflections and innovations here in the Sacramento Valley. And also during that 10 years, listeners of this radio station have kept us going. We run on a skeleton crew with a threadbare budget. But because of the great number of volunteers that we have down here at this radio station, people who you hear on mic and people who you don't hear, we're able to provide you free form, independent, student and community run radio, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If this impresses you, and it should, then you should be thinking about how you're going to return that gift, that gratitude in April. We'll give you many reminders about the upcoming fundraiser during Picnic Day week, right after Picnic Day. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and I've got a very exciting show to share with you all today. The Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, which we've talked about in the past on this radio show, has sent two of its best and brightest representatives to this radio station to talk about a production of Twelfth Night that opens tomorrow, if I remember correctly, on the UC Davis campus, taking place in the UC Davis Arboretum. We'll have some details about that, how it's possible to celebrate Twelfth Night and winter rains outside, so to speak, while still enjoying Shakespeare in the park, in this instance, in the Arboretum. Gia Battista and Steph Hankinson are here, and they are two of the driving forces behind the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. We will hear from them and talk to them about a production that they both appear in starting tomorrow. And then, in the second half hour, we'll hear from Katie Porter. She's been on this radio show before. She received her MFA in poetry from Antioch University, Los Angeles, in 2010. In 2005, she founded the online literary magazine Pomelian, a journal of poetry. She's published a number of books, a number of chapbooks, and we're going to talk to her about that work and hear from her a poem. That'll happen at about 5:40 or so. But for right now, after the intro music, we will hear from two representatives of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Quick reminder that at about 5:45, we'll be joined by Katie Porter. But right now, it's time to talk about everybody's favorite bard, Shakespeare. I don't know if you remember when the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble announced itself. This was with a production of Romeo and Juliet back in September, I want to say. And as is the case with KDVS and the Aggie and lots of other homegrown, student-run entertainment options in the city of Davis, people around here in Davis, they don't wait for outside authority figures, whether they be faculty members or high-paid consultants to come in and tell them what to do. Rather, here at UC Davis, students come up with their own ideas and they make entertainments where they are rather than pining for, say, Berkeley, San Francisco, or Los Angeles. And the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble is a wonderful part of this tradition. They are putting on a production of Twelfth Night, the classic comedy of a troubled love triangle and a practical joke gone wrong, starting tomorrow evening at the Davis Arboretum. And I have two representatives of the Shakespeare Ensemble here in the studio to tell us about that and to suggest reasons why we may want to check this out. Steph Hankinson will be my first guest. She's playing the part of Maria in Twelfth Night. She recently assistant directed for the theater and dance department's production of Galatea. She's a co-founder of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, and she played the nurse in their production of Romeo and Juliet. Her Studio 301 directing credits include A Midsummer Night's Dream, Macbeth, and Hair, the American tribal love rock musical. Gia Battista is also here. This is Gia's second time playing viola in Twelfth Night, and she's very much enjoyed making new discoveries in the role. She recently played Galatea in Galatea, put on by the theater and dance department. This past summer, she co-founded the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble and played Juliet in their first production of Romeo and Juliet. Gia played Sheila in Studio 301's production of Hair in the spring. She's also directed Fuddy Mears and Macbeth for Studio 301. Gia's theater and dance production credits include Oklahoma, The Winter's Tale, Number 5, The Angry Red Drum, Measure for Measure, and Nights at the Circus. I think we've had a chance to talk about each of those productions here on this radio show, and now we've got these two stars here to chat with us about Twelfth Night, which opens tomorrow. Steph Hankinson, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having us.
Certainly. Welcome back. So I want to talk thoroughly about Twelfth Night, but first tell us a little bit more about why you and your colleagues felt that it was necessary to found the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble.
Well, you know, I think for us, the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble has two sort of fronts, right? We want to present professional Shakespearean productions to the Davis community and also to educate the youth of the community with Shakespeare and the text of Shakespeare. And I think these are the two sides of things that we really wanted to do with it. And having the productions happening sort of on our own time frame and on our own sort of way of things is really important, I think, for the ensemble. And we felt that it was just sort of a lacking aspect in the Davis arts community. And, you know, there's theater that's around. And, of course, Sacramento has their sorts of Shakespearean productions, but this happens only in the summer, really, and sort of sporadically here and there. And just to provide that outlet sort of year-round was really why we felt it was necessary to start it.
Excellent. I know you all had a lot of success with your production of Macbeth, and that was for Studio 301. Did you have some experiences there that suggested to you, you know, we need to be providing Shakespeare all the time, not just when it coincides to perhaps a yearly production of Studio 301 or the Theater and Dance Department?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the spring of 2009, I directed Midsummer Night's Dream for Studio 301, and then Gia and I co-directed Macbeth the following November in 2009, and we had a lot of success, and I think that was sort of our first experiment with the Davis community in saying, like, are people going to come out and watch Shakespeare, even if it's sort of an unconventional time of year and an unconventional space? And, you know, it was sort of overwhelming how many people showed up to come to something like that, where we were really, compared to how prepared we are now, very ill-prepared at that point. So,
right.
You know, we've really just said, you know, they came out and saw it then, and we're getting better and better at making it more accessible, both just for members of the community by reaching out to the community and not just relying on the university. And then also just the physical needs of what it takes to really do this outdoors and make it comfortable are things that we're really improving on each time, right?
Excellent. Good for you. Well, let's get Gia into this conversation. Gia, you've appeared on this radio show maybe a half dozen times now with all the productions that you've been in. You got to play Juliet in Romeo and Juliet. And I'm wondering if you could give some of your own thoughts about the genesis of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble and dovetailing on anything that Steph already said about reasons for its beginning and the joys and challenges that you've experienced thus far.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I really feel that it definitely did have to do with, you know, the sort of lack or whatnot of Shakespeare. And really, out of the three of us, Steph, Rob, and I, we just have a really intense passion for Shakespeare. A lot of us started our acting careers and our theater careers with Shakespeare. And there's just always so much to learn from it. And all of us, also our backgrounds being English majors,
right.
We're, you know, also very passionate about it. And, you know, I think it's just something that always presents a challenge that just excites us. And there's always a show that just seems to fit for the certain time of year that it is. And, you know, really, it kind of just started with, you know, I think it's a good time to do Romeo and Juliet right now. Or, you know, I think Twelfth Night would be the best thing, you know,
right.
Whether it has to do with the space or the time of year or just kind of like, you know, just feeling out what, you know, what's been out there, what hasn't been. So, you know, I think it was just a really great fit for the three of us, and knowing that we had people that were in support and, like, backing us on it. It's really inspiring, and it's exciting.
Excellent. Good for you guys. Well, your website, if I remember correctly, is Shakespeare Davis, shakespeare.davis.com. So if you'd like to find out more about this production, you can visit that website. And there, I haven't looked at it this afternoon, but I think there one can find information about getting tickets and also contacting those of you who are deciding who sits where at the Arboretum and how that's going to work. There's a Gmail address there as well. Can you remind us what that Gmail address is?
It is davis.shakespeare@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, I think people at home will be curious to know how it is in the middle of what Californians call winter, one can put on an outdoor production in an arboretum, no less. So I'm going to have people think about that at home while we play a quick musical break. And then when we return, we will hear from Steph Hankinson and Gia Battista about the setting of the production of Twelfth Night, which opens tomorrow, runs through the weekend with two shows on Sunday, and also through the following weekend. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you. The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. We are talking about Shakespeare this afternoon, and I have two of the stars of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble's new production of Twelfth Night here in the studio, Steph Hankinson and Gia Battista. Now, Steph Hankinson, we were talking before the break about the choice to hold a play that in part is about winter, in the winter, and outdoors, for thin-skinned Californians. And I mean this not how well they take an insult, but how well they're able to endure temperatures below 50 degrees.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about why the Arboretum and how this is possible and how comfortable people will be at this production.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think why the Arboretum is a pretty simple question to answer for the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. It is the fact that one of our main ideas that we'd like to promote is not just doing Shakespearean productions year-round, but doing these Shakespearean productions in found spaces and unconventional theater spaces. And the Arboretum provides an abundance of these. There's a million different places, and one of the best places, I think, is sort of where we've found our home, is the UC Davis Arboretum Gazebo.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Garrod Drive off of LaRue over by the Vet Center. And, you know, the gazebo is a structure that we sort of felt had been underutilized. We walked out there a couple springs ago and said, why aren't people doing theater here? Why isn't this a place that is just overpopulated with all kinds of productions? And, you know, I think the way that we've sort of worked this, we started right after Romeo and Juliet and said, okay, we know we're doing another production, and we know that the best time, just sort of with the other performance calendars that are happening in the Davis community, is probably going to be sometime in early January, and like really talking very seriously about how this is feasible. And what we started with was first protecting from wind and rain, just a very basic sort of need, obviously.
Right.
And we've been working for really the whole time between Romeo and Juliet and this, you know, purchasing and constructing what we like to call the circus tent. But it's some heavy-duty industrial strength sort of tarp that we've used our geometry from seventh grade and cut up and custom fit for the gazebo. So it's entirely enclosed with this tarping, and that cuts the initial chill, which is really, that was the first challenge, because that was for us to say, okay, this is a place where we could actually rehearse and come and be warm enough to actually get the show up and running, right? So we're using that, which is great because it does work quite effectively. And then in terms of heat beyond that, we've actually rented a huge industrial heater that is used for heating tents, really. It's something you might see at an outdoor banquet or winter weddings or things like that, to heat a space that's something like 14,000 square feet, which is much larger than the gazebo space. And so that'll be coming in tomorrow and all the way through the run. So that'll be running for people and audience members to sort of promote the comfort. And we're still encouraging people, just because we don't have heated bathrooms and there's no real lobby area, and you do have to walk all the way from the Vet Center into the gazebo. So we're still really encouraging people to dress for winter. You know, wear those coats, wear the winter gloves, wear the hats, and bring blankets and stuff just in case they happen to be, you know, outside or want to walk around and see sort of the outside of our structure and go to the bathrooms, come back. You got a little more of a chill that the heater and the tarps don't cut. You know, please just wear that. And if you're too warm, we can check your coats, you know.
Right. Excellent. That's wonderful. So that'll be a main concern of a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
And and one that you've addressed in such a way that it didn't take probably the largest percentage of your budget to make the production not feasible.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, we really try to, you know, I kind of manage the money with Rob and Gia, and we're really trying to sort of set aside parts of what we bring back for each production to get stuff that we're going to use again and again. And we know now that, you know, we invested in a light board, we invested in the tarping and the things like that we can keep and use again and again if we'd like to do another production in this specific outdoor space, which is really one of our favorite places to work. And if people, you know, want to come out and talk to us about using the gazebo in weather conditions that are somewhat unlikely, I think, or unexpected, then, you know, we have the ability to do that and work something out with them, too. It makes it sort of accessible for more people, too, if they'd like to do something out there.
That's wonderful. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking to members of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. Gia Battista and Steph Hankinson are here. And the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble begins its new production of Twelfth Night tomorrow night here on the UC Davis campus. And before we leave this, Steph, can you tell us one more time how we get to that Arboretum gazebo?
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest way is to follow LaRue Drive, which is the main road that runs by the stadium and sort of the south edge of campus, and then you're going to turn on Garrod. There's only one way to turn. So you follow that, it snakes around a little bit, and it puts you out right by the veterinary center, and you can park in that parking lot. Or there's street parking right there for free, which is nice because you will have to pay on Thursday or Friday at the veterinary center. But Saturday and Sunday it's free, and then we'll have signs up that are showing people where to go. But you can also check out the directions that are listed on the UC Davis Arboretum website. They give really specific directions if you're coming from out of town about how to exit and everything. But that's probably the best.
Excellent. And so that's arboretum.ucdavis.edu.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, Gia Battista, let me ask you about Twelfth Night. It's a wonderful play. It's one that I've taught in introduction to literature classes. There is a lot of comedy, depending on how it's played, with regard to Malvolio and the way he's treated and the more comical characters who treat him that way. But it's also about love and gender bending and surprises and revelations and so forth. So why did you all choose Twelfth Night, and what have been some of the pleasures of reimagining this 400-year-old play?
Well, I know for our director, Rob, he has worked on this show numerous times in all different aspects, directing, assistant directing, playing guitars, Fabian, and lots of different, venues. But he really loves the show, and as do Steph and I, and we kind of all agreed that this time of year would be the best time to do that. You know, it's based around the 12 days of Christmas, and
right.
We have just come out of this holiday, and actually the 12th day was January 5th, I believe. So we really liked that idea of the really festive, you know, getting everybody coming out of the holidays, and it's still that lingering feeling of the holiday. Of course, it's winter time.
Right.
And another reason being that it is Shakespeare's most musical play, and, I mean, we love music, and who doesn't? And the, you know, opportunities to bring some of our friends in that are very musical, whether they're actors and musicians, really opened up a really great opportunity for us to do this show. So, we brought in Richard Schoenhill. He's an alumni from Davis and a composer. And he composed some original music for us, and it's really, really awesome, super fun. And it's one of the things that has allowed us to really make it an original show for us. And so Rob decided kind of the genre of music we were going for, and choosing the genre of music really kind of, you know, informed what the rest of the play, the time period we were setting.
Right.
And he really loves, we love blues and rock and kind of that, like, bluegrass, like Tennessee, like, you know, rock and roll kind of, so it was like this awesome mix. So we've kind of just, we've gone off of that. Our costumes are really, you know, we've got that hint of like Southern and like rock and blues, and then there's this country vibe with the Fools. They all kind of match each other, and Festy, who's the Fool and the singer, he sings all the songs. Kind of, he looks like a rock musician, singer. So he's got a fun costume.
Wonderful. That sounds like a lot of fun. Tell me about your character, Viola. What's her deal? What are some of her concerns and motivations?
What's her deal? Well, that's actually interesting because, yeah, it's the second time I've played this, and so it was kind of a thing where it was the first time I've repeated a role, the same role. I've done a play twice before, but with different roles. You know, that was something I kind of really wanted to discover, just like, what new things can I come up with? Well, it's Shakespeare, so you read it for 1 minute and you find 27 different things you didn't notice from before.
Right.
So, and really, it does make a difference with the people in your cast and, you know, who you're interacting with in scenes. Viola is in search of this new life. She's been shipwrecked, so she, you know, needs to go up her status because she's got nothing and she's even lost her twin brother. So, you know, she has to take this risk to dress up as a man in order to make money and better her status and, you know, get her life started again. And meanwhile, this kind of backfires because she falls in love like most of the characters in the play. Yeah. So, you know, the plot kind of unfolds with the, you know, the love triangle that Shakespeare has in mostly all of his shows.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because as anyone who knows Shakespeare knows, there were young men and boys playing the women who, in this case, were dressing up like men. But the boys were playing women who were falling in love with men while passing as a man.
Right.
And so it's a lot to keep in mind and to imagine. But I guess 400 years ago, that would have made it easier for the young men to pass as men,
right,
seeing that that's where they started.
Right.
So, yeah.
Takes one level away from that.
Right. But it also adds a kind of interesting homoerotic element that we see in a lot of Shakespeare's writing.
Definitely.
Explicitly in the sonnets, but interestingly and often implicitly in a whole bunch of his plays. Mm-hmm. Which is, I guess, another way that Shakespeare stays modern for modern audiences. Say a little bit more about the music. It sounds to me like the music in this production might be somewhat more prominent than it would be in a typical production.
Yes, I think so.
And so what can you say some more about the pleasures that people have in store for them if they go to this production musically?
Sure. We have a 3-piece band. We've got a lead guitarist, Richard, who was our composer, and we have a bass player and a drummer. And in that space, you know, it really does fill the air with lots of music. If you're outside, it's like, oh, we got people coming in. What's going on in here? You know, and it really brings so much life to the show. And, you know, of course, Richard composed full-length songs for each song that's in the show, but there's also little tidbits of music throughout, so it you know, kind of informs that the music is almost kind of like this other character in a way, and that really makes it really fun. And we've added some I get to sing, Viola sings with Festy, so that's an exciting thing that you don't usually see in other productions. We've kind of just found another way that
can
get some more voices in there, and then there's a surprise at the end where more voices get to be heard.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, it's a wonderful play. It's one that I think I've seen in video. I'm trying to remember if I've seen a live production. I've seen a whole bunch of Shakespeare plays, but I don't know if I've seen this one.
Mm.
But highly recommended by me that you check out this play and this production in particular. Gia, can you tell us again the details representing the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble, the website URL, and then also the details of the days and times of this production?
The website is shakespeare@davis.com. Mm-hmm. And you can email davis.shakespeare@gmail.com if you'd like to make a reservation. Or call our box office number, which is 661-304-4341. And let us know how many tickets you would like to reserve on what particular show. And we will gladly make your reservation for you and send you a confirmation.
Excellent. And days and times one more time?
We open tomorrow, January 13th, and run through the 16th. We have, that's at 8 p.m., and then we run from January 20th through the 23rd. On both of the Sunday shows, we have matinees at 2 p.m. as well.
Excellent. And Steph Hankinson, if you could give us a sense of one other thing about this production that's special or different or surprising without giving too much away.
Sure.
So that people are reminded once again why they may want to celebrate and support Shakespeare in the Park right here in the city of Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm one of the main characters in the subplot. I'm playing Mariah, and the subplot is essentially a huge practical joke. It's where the comedy of the show really, really lives. And I think that if people come, there's some amazing costume changes that happen as a direct result of the practical joke. And there's just some really legitimately funny things that are in the text. And as well as, you know, we've got some great actors that are really playing that up. And, you know, this to me is Shakespeare's comedy that is actually still really, really funny without having to do a whole lot. And so I think that people will be incredibly impressed by how comedic the show actually is, and that, you know, you don't just enjoy it and sort of think, oh, how cute, but like you'll actually laugh at the show. So.
Excellent. That's a good way of putting it. So it's the David Shakespeare Ensemble's production of Twelfth Night. It starts tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, runs through the weekend with two shows on Sunday, and then the following weekend as well. For more information, you can visit Shakespeare Davis on the World Wide Web. Well, Steph Hankinson, thanks very much for coming on the radio show this afternoon.
Thanks so much, Andy.
Absolutely. Tia Batista, good to see you again, and good luck on stage starting tomorrow night.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Absolutely. Anytime. And I will see you all on stage soon, and I look forward to seeing what you've done with this great play by William Shakespeare.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, folks, you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. In about 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Katie Porter. She's the author of Seven Floors Up, a book, and the chapbooks Small Fruit Songs, Prose Poems, Almost Delicious, which is an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and just released by Dancing Girl Press. This is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. Thank you.
are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy. I was just chatting during that very nice song that we heard from Vaughn Freeman and Frank Cantilano. That was track 3, When I Fall in Love, from their CD, You Talking to Me. And I was chatting with the folks from David Shakespeare Ensemble, and they reminded me that they will be doing a couple scenes from Twelfth Night and playing some of the music as a teaser this coming Saturday at noon, I bet, under the big tree at the Davis Farmers Market. My two boys and I are at the farmers market almost every Saturday. We may be in San Francisco this coming weekend, but either way, if I were you, I would check it out if I happen to be in the farmers market area this coming Saturday around noon. Here's an important message from Recology Dixon. Recology Dixon encourages our listeners to take a moment out of your busy schedule to give the gift of life by giving blood to the hospital or blood bank of your choice. It's time well spent, and you could be saving a life. This important reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at Recology Dixon in Dixon, Vacaville, and Solano. They're online at recologydixon.com. And on the air because they care about the people in this community. You'll have lots of choices this coming weekend and every weekend for entertainment opportunities here in the city of Davis. You know, one great new player on the scene, group of women who have put together a monthly paper journal with an online website, is the Davis Dirt. I had a very well-made lunch today in the Cloud Forest Cafe on D Street between 2nd and 3rd. While I was there, I was had an opportunity to read some of the Davis Dirt. Not only does the Davis Dirt provide you a calendar of upcoming entertainment events, a lot of them musical, but also poetic events, theatrical events, art openings, but they also offer reviews this week of a bunch of the different happy hours being offered by downtown Davis restaurants and bars. So if you want to find out more, head over to downtown Davis. And most newsstands, all newsstands and most restaurants in town will now offer you a chance to review the Davis Dirt. One of the things I noticed mentioned in the Davis Dirt was a reading coming up a week from tomorrow as part of the Poetry Night reading series here in the city of Davis. Christian Kiefer and Michael Spurgeon will be reading at the John Itzulis Gallery on January 20th at 8 p.m. We've had Christian Kiefer on this show a number of times. He also is one of the celebrities who has recorded a celebrity station ID for this radio station. Here, let's take a moment to hear that now.
I know that if Sharon were saying these things about someone whom I loved, I'd be across the table and on her neck. This is Christian Kiefer, and you're listening to KDVS Davis.
That's Christian Kiefer. He's a poet. He's a novelist. He's a musician. He's also one of the driving forces behind a fascinating project called Of Great and Mortal Men, 43 Songs for 43 U.S. Presidents. It's a triple CD that's been used as a teaching aid in many American history classes around the country. You might have heard him interviewed on NPR's All Things Considered. He's going to be appearing at the John Itzulis Gallery next Thursday, January 20th at 8 p.m. He'll be there with one of his colleagues from the American River College, and that will be Michael Spurgeon. Michael has authored two chapbooks of poetry, and his poetry, like Christian's, has appeared in a great number of journals. Well, speaking of poets, I'm very pleased to reintroduce you all to Katie Porter. Katie Porter is the author of Seven Floors Up and the chapbooks Small Fruit Songs, Prose Poems, Almost Delicious, which is an ekphrastic series after Modigliani's Nudes, and released last year by Dancing Girl Press, and What Desire Makes of Us, which is a series written during National Poetry Writing Month in 2009. Katie Porter is the founding editor, the founder of the online literary magazine Pomelian, a journal of poetry. She also just founded Inlandia, a literary journal in partnership with Inlandia, the Inlandia Institute. She was received her MFA in poetry from Antioch University, Los Angeles, in 2010, and I'm very pleased to have her back on the program. Katie Porter, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi there. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Great to hear your voice again. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
So this is the beginning of your first full year with that all-important MFA in poetry from Antioch University, Los Angeles, under your belt. I'm wondering if you've made any poetico-literary New Year's resolutions, or if you have any important plans for yourself as a writer and poet in 2011.
Well, I haven't made any resolutions except to try and find work, paying work, as an educator, hopefully. I've put out an application with Cal State San Bernardino and some other places. So that's the primary goal right now, other than writing and editing. And, you know, I'm getting ready to launch the new, the inaugural issue of Inlandia, A Literary Journey. And we just recently launched the primetime poetry issue of Pomelian. So it's been very busy. So.
Absolutely. When you're doing that much for other people's poetry, it's difficult sometimes, isn't it, to remember that you have to find a job yourself and keep yourself well-fed so that you can keep your strength up for all these projects on behalf of great poets in California and beyond.
Yeah. Editing work, it's harder than people think, and it's actually much more time-consuming. I spend far more time editing and less time writing than I really would care to. But, you know, it's all for the good of poetry with a capital P, and we're just I'm trying to promote the work of all of us, and I think it's beneficial to everyone in the long run.
And very important work indeed. Well, I want to give you some more time in the spotlight then, because you're usually the one holding the spotlight and pointing it at someone else. We'd love to hear some of your more recent poems. I'm wondering what you've been working on recently, and if you could share with us some of your work.
Sure. Well, recently I completed a manuscript called My Skies of Small Horses, and it's, of course, making the rounds. It was a semi-finalist for the Anti-Venom Prize from Elixir Press, and a couple of the poems in there, one poem called Greed, was a finalist for the Crab Creek Review Poetry Competition. And my most recently, a poem called Miss Carriage won the poetry contest of the journal So to Speak, a feminist journal of literature and art out of George Mason University, so very pleased to find that. So I could read you a few poems from that if you'd like.
Excellent. Congratulations on those successes and recognitions. Yeah, we would love to hear some of that verse.
All right. Well, this is Miscarriage, and this is the poem that will be in the spring 2011 issue of So to Speak. Nope, no horse, no buggy, missed the boat, hit and miss, hit on miss, mistaken, mistaken for a yellow belly, for a gold god, wrestling for a piece of it, for a piece. Less shiny as the years go. Gotta buy a piece to shoot herself in her Achilles. Thought she could handle you, but you have none. Slippery, slipped right out the vault. Dressed in red, in uneasy plush, push, 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 not. She can't have what it is that she's mistaken herself for having. And she will not take her boat and float it, whatever floats it. She will not upend it, as it is still and floating in the pale waters of the bowl, bled out and scooped up by her restless hand, where it listlessly drips, red, 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 and she will not cry. She will not cry.
Wow, that's powerful work.
Thanks.
That was wonderful. Before I ask you to read another one, I'd like to remind people that Katie Porter, not surprisingly, is the owner of katieporter.com, and that's spelled C-A-T-I, Porter. And there you can find out more about my guest. You can see the alluring cover of Almost Delicious, one of her more recent books, and see some samples of her work. Let's hear another sample right now, Katie.
Sure. This one is titled Orange, and it's one of a series of poems after words that have no perfect rhyme in the English language.
Great.
Okay, Orange. Orange harangues the orangutans in their strange grunge, expunging the old myth that nothing rhymes with. The phalanges offer bungee jumpers easier grips, fewer slips, and lunges toward and forward, counter-challenging gravity's unhinging plunge. Opposable, thumbs aren't fringe, aren't for scrounging or lounging, are for rummaging and unwinding an orange rind. I am not unkind to suggest that what is left after disassembly, deconstruction, instruction pamphlets folded origami-like, is nothing more than an unraveling of the traveling circus that is us, de-evolving and disarranging and ranging in height and girth and color and breadth and breath, a longitudinal lozenge lodging an orange-tinged cringe.
That's great. It's musical, but also
yeah.
it challenges the reader to follow the meaning or the flirtations with meaning as we hear the rhyming magic of words that rhyme or almost rhyme with orange.
Yeah, it was fun to write.
It sounds like it. Well, we have time for one more. Do you have another poem there that you can share with listeners of the radio show?
Sure. How about, this is the title poem of the manuscript. My skies of small horses. Here, hold the reins. My hands are sweaty. The reins are made of words. From beneath the red bench, the natty blanket. Wool, yes. See it unfold across the strangely handsome, unsettled plain. This is not your story. An accordion answers. A fan in the shape of a long hour, silvered and shimmering, but rather, if you would, turn the knob, see. The image flickers, goes prehistoric until we are both and neither. The apple is only a ruse. I throw it up. Predictably, it has not fallen. The sky is a cannon of leaden apples. Lead the little horses out.
That's very nice. You've been hearing the poetry of Katie Porter. You can find out more about Katie Porter's work at CatiePorter.com. That's the website of my guest. And Katie, it's been a delight to have you back on the radio show. Thanks so much for appearing on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Well done. I'll talk to you next time.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, I have another important message to share with you, and now I need some music for that. The nonprofit ASSE, International Student Exchange Program, is seeking local high school students interested in becoming exchange students in a foreign land for an academic year or summer program. Exchange students live with a caring host family while attending high school and learning about the language and people of their chosen host country. Interested students can contact Nona Skinner at 1-800-733-2773. We are now upon the end of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I would like to give you a few reminders of upcoming events and then thank my guests. First, I'd like to remind you that if you visit Poetry in Davis, you can find out about the reading a week from tomorrow night at the John Itzulis Gallery by Christian Kiefer and Michael Spurgeon. Kiefer and Spurgeon will be reading from prose and poetry. I don't know if Christian Kiefer is going to be bringing any musical instruments, but certainly his music can be downloaded. If you want to find out more about him, you can go to Christian Kiefer, and he spells that with an X, X-I-A-N, Kiefer, K-I-E-F-E-R, .wordpress.com. If you Google Christian Kiefer or stick his name in another search engine, you will certainly find him first. And then Michael Spurgeon. Spurgeon and Kiefer are both professors at the American River College in Sacramento, and they'll both be reading from new original work at the John Itzulis Gallery on the 20th of January. Details at poetryanddavis.com. If you visit another website, and that would be shakespeare-davis.com, pardon me while I type it in now, you will see the brand new website of the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble and details about their upcoming production of Twelfth Night from January 13th to the 16th and then from the 20th to the 23rd. Showtimes are at 8 o'clock. Two shows on Sundays, one at 2 o'clock and one at 8 o'clock. If you visit shakespeare-davis.com, you will see photographs and descriptions and everything that you need to learn more about how to partake in productions by the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble. I'd like to thank Gia Battista and Steph Hankinson from the Davis Shakespeare Ensemble for coming on the show, and also thanks to Katie Porter of katieporter.com for sharing with us their poetry. tomorrow, Stephanie Jackson will be reading at Wright Hall, I believe at 7:30. She's an experimental novelist, and I'm looking forward to that. I think that's sponsored by the English Department Creative Writing Program. I will be at some of these events, but always right here on a Wednesday afternoon to provide you more of what you've come to expect from your favorite poetry and technology program. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Dr. Andy's Poetry and...